2 Samuel chapter 3. The overall name of the subject is Trivia Treasures, and the lesser title is All in the Family. And if you think over what I've been telling you about, you'll understand it. Jabez was more noble than his brethren. It's something about the family. And then I told you about the sons of Korah, the family of Korah and his sons. And then I told you last week about Reuben's reversal. Here is the family of Jacob. And so tonight we're going to read about some other family members, and we'll see how much you know about them. 2 Samuel chapter 3. I'm just going to read one verse and then have prayer, and then I'll read you more verses and we'll see what unfolds. 2 Samuel 3, verse 39. David is speaking, lamenting the fate of a great man, and he says, "And I am this day weak, though anointed king. And these men, the sons of Zeruiah, are too hard for me. The Lord reward the evildoer according to his wickedness." Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we know the sufferings of thy Son, our Savior. We know the sufferings also of those that remind us of him. The sufferings of David, the sufferings of Jonah. We thank you, Father, for every thought like unto this. But our Father, whoever suffered innocently the way thy Son suffered, we know that no one did. And yet we are thankful for the sufferings in the lives of others. Thou dost tell us to consider that the same sufferings are accomplished in our brethren who are in the world. Let us be vigilant. Let us be strong. So, our Father, we pray that we shall understand somewhat about these sons of Zeruiah who caused David such suffering. These hard sons of Zeruiah. Let us know our sins. Forgive them and cleanse them. We confess them. Let us know the need of the heart, preparation of the listeners, and let us know the need of power. Supply that. Bless us this evening, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. All right, some brother, tell me, who were the sons of Korah? I told you never knew before, and I told you. Now, who were they? Who was the first? Asher, Elkanah, and Abiathar. All right. Who were the sons of Zeruiah? Joab, Abishai, and Asahel. Very good. Now, brother, tell me who Zeruiah was. David's father's brother. What? Let's see. Turn to chapter 2 of 2 Samuel. I'm going to read you two more scriptures. That's very good. Joab, and we'll see in verse 18. And the three sons of Zeruiah were there. Joab, Abishai, and Asahel. Very good. Now, this is the surprise. Take the first part of the answer, but 1 Chronicles chapter 2, and look at verse 13. 1 Chronicles 2:13, and Jesse begat his firstborn, Eliab, and Abinadab the second, and Shimeah the third, Nethanel the fourth, Radai the fifth, Otham the sixth, David the seventh, and their sisters were Zeruiah and Abigail. Zeruiah isn't a man at all. Zeruiah is a woman. Now, let's read further. Zeruiah and Abigail, his sisters, and the sons of Zeruiah, Abishai and Joab and Asahel, three. And Abigail bare Amasa. And the father of Amasa was Jether, the Ishmaelite. All right. You say, well, very interesting. Then, who was the father of Zeruiah and Abigail? Who? I didn't hear it. Jesse? Very good, but you haven't read this scripture. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 17. 2 Samuel chapter 17, and I could not argue with you if we had that information, but in chapter 17 of 2 Samuel, we'll read two more verses. Verse 24. Then David came to Mahanaim, and Absalom passed over the Jordan, he and all the men of Israel with him. And Absalom set Amasa over the host instead of Joab. Now Amasa was the son of a man whose name was Ithrah, the Israelite, and he went in to Abigail, the daughter of Nahash, sister to Zeruiah. Now, who was the father of Abigail and Zeruiah? He went into Nahash, the father of Abigail, the sister of Zeruiah. Who was the father of Abigail and Zeruiah? Take a chance this time and say it. Nahash. That was their father. All right. One other verse, just to be sure. Turn to chapter 19. Chapter 19. And look at verse 12. Verse 12, ye are my brethren, ye are my bone and my flesh. Wherefore then are ye the last to bring back the king? And say ye to Amasa, art thou not my bone and my flesh? Now, that's all we have to read for now. But we had to read all of those verses because it very easily could be that Zeruiah and Abigail were David's stepsisters. But inasmuch as he says to the son of Abigail, the sister of Zeruiah, you are my bone and my flesh, what would that teach us? That they weren't his stepsisters, they were what? His blood sisters. But inasmuch as David's father was Jesse, and Nahash was the father of the sisters Zeruiah and Abigail, then they were not his full sisters, but his what? Half-sisters. The same way that Sarah was the half-sister of Abraham. You see, they had the same father, but different mothers. In this case, this is something also that is a revelation. Did you know that David's father, Jesse, had 7, 8 sons by a woman who had previously been married to Nahash, and after the birth of these two girls, then Jesse married this woman and begat these other 8 sons? Remarkable, isn't it? I take it that way for this reason. If you read, there is so much trivia, I cannot read it all to you now, but you will find that David's father was an old man. And I see this so often when I check up on my past genealogy. You'll see a woman whose husband died, and she's a young woman, and she will come and marry another man, and then they will have ever so many children. And so this woman and all had at least 10 children, 2 by her first husband, and then the 8, but I cannot tell you who the 8 are. I can tell you who the 7 sons of Jesse are, but it says that David had 7 brothers. I can tell you who 6 of them are. I cannot tell you who the 7th is. If you ever find it, come to me and I'll give you a reward if you'll tell me correctly who that 7th brother was. But now, here is something that opens up illumines something we never knew before. How many of you knew that Zeruiah was a woman? One. Remarkable, isn't it? Who would have thought the sons of Korah, the sons of Zeruiah, here they are. Well, you understand then that Joab and Abishai and Asahel are David's nephews. Do you see? And you have Amasa and the three sons of Zeruiah, and they are first cousins. And having said that, you must understand this, because you have to go the next step. Then Solomon and these boys are also first cousins. Now, why am I preaching on all in the family? Do you understand? It's all in the family. Who are David's men that control his army? They're his nephews, all of them. All right. I'll tell you some more as we go along, but I want you to understand about these three, and the chief of these three, he may not of necessity been the oldest. On one occasion, Abishai's name is put before his, but in prominence, Joab is the one that became preeminent. And it was not that David liked him more than another, but David put out a challenge, the same as Caleb put out a challenge. Caleb put out a challenge and he said, I'll give my daughter to the man that wins this battle. And what was Caleb's daughter's name? Any brother know? Who is the one that won the challenge? Who was the first judge of Israel? Othniel and Achsah. And so Caleb said, I'll give my daughter to wife. And so Othniel went out and took the challenge, and he successfully won the daughter. David did the same thing to get Michal, the son, the daughter of King Saul. And then he was tricked. So many times a man fights for something and he's tricked. I told you about Jacob working 7 years for Rachel, and he wakes up the next morning and finds it's Leah. And then he has to work 7 more years. And in like manner, here is the son, the daughter of King Saul, and here is the son of Jesse, and he wants the king's daughter, and he goes out and fights, but then there is a switch of the daughters. And finally, he gets Michal for a time. And all of these things are fascinating. And so for this reason, now I understand why David dealt with these three the way he did, and why, and you think, and you have to laugh. He said, oh, you sons of Zeruiah, you are too hard for me. Do any of you have sisters? And if you do, do they have children? And you say, my sister's children are terrible. That's just what he's saying. Oh, you sons of Zeruiah, think of your sister. And here she is, and she has children. And he says, you sons of Zeruiah. So, it's all in the family. And Joab was given the challenge, and David said, who will go up first shall be my commander-in-chief. And Joab said, I will go up first. And he went up first, and David was true to his word. Now, here they are, and they are David's nephews, just as Absalom was David's son, and all of these things that are happening now, much more meaningful. Here are brothers, and here are cousins and uncles and nephews, and they are the ones who are doing things for one another and planning against one another and killing one another. That is the sad thing. All of this is in the family. But these sons of Zeruiah, in general, let me tell you this much about them. All of them were soldiers. All of them had great prowess. Joab was the commander-in-chief. And these other two, Abishai and Asahel, they were excellent men, but there were those that were superior to them. And so let's give David this much credit, that it was not always nepotism. He did not always take relatives, because they were relatives, and put them in the highest position. But he took men of ability because of their heroic deeds that they did, and he would reward them and promote them over so many. But these three nephews of his, Joab was commander-in-chief of the whole army, and the other were chief men among his brethren. They were all soldiers, and all of them had different abilities, but all of them had high places of command in David's army. And so for that reason, there is a close affinity between these men. And this is a detriment at times, because some generals in our army, if their sons or those relatives close to them are to be assigned to dangerous locations, at times they are removed from this responsibility. Why? The effect, if this relative is lost, will be so great upon this general that he has to be removed from this area of danger. But it was not so in the case of these nephews of David. They were the ones that went forth and fought, and they were the ones that were true to David, and they were the ones that were loyal to David. Would to God I had in my family so many relatives that would fight for me, that had ability if I were a man of the world and had a secular position. But here is David, and he puts his relatives in high positions. But they are not nepotism promotions, but they are worthy promotions because of the innate ability of these men. And here is what you find. You will find that in David's family, there is beauty, there is ability, there is courage, because here is David. He was a lovely lad to look upon, and here is his son Absalom. And there was one no so fair in Israel, none so fair as Absalom. He's the son of David, you understand? And here are soldiers, and these are blood descendants of David. You say they may come from Zeruiah and her side of the family. It could be, but at the same time, we know that David was a warrior as well. He was the one who fought. In fact, God did not allow him to build the temple because he had been a man of war. And he said, Solomon, your son of peace, shall build the temple. So these men, their profession was that of being a soldier. Some were fine Levites. I told you that Korah and his branch of the family were Levites. And one of the sons of Korah, I asked you who they were, and we found out that they were Asher, Elkanah, Abiasaph. And I challenged myself, what shall I tell you about these sons? I can tell you nothing about them. The only thing I know is that it looked as if they were doomed to death, but we read later on that God spared them, and I cannot but help that they thought back when they were plucked as a brand from the burning, and they were with their father, but instead of being swallowed up in the earth when it opened up, and his father and those of Dathan and Abiram went down alive into the pit, they must have remembered that for the rest of their lives, the grace of God in sparing them. I could only give you conjectural things like that. But not in the case of the sons of Zeruiah. I had to look way into the future, down the descendants of Korah and his sons, to tell you things about the sons of Korah. And this is what is so remarkable. You're reading about Elkanah and Hannah. And finally, Elkanah has a son named Samuel, and he is a son of Korah. Isn't that remarkable? You've been reading about Samuel your whole life long, and you did not realize that he was a son of Korah, because a son means a grandson or a great-great-grandson. However far down the line, if there is that direct descent, they're called sons. But when you come to these men, the sons of Zeruiah, God tells us ever so much about them. And had I chosen, I could have told you entire messages on Joab and on Abishai and Asahel. But since it's on the sons of Zeruiah, I'll just tell you a little bit about them. Their whole life long, even though they were good soldiers of David, whenever they would do anything that displeased David, he said again and again and again, you sons of Zeruiah are too hard for me. And I would ask this question, well, if they are too hard for you, why don't you put them out of the army? How can you put your sister's children out of the army? And this is the way they are. His nephews, It's the same way something in the family. There are people, if there are no kin to you, you can dismiss them. But what are you going to say to Zeruiah? She must have been a terror because he said, "You sons of Zeruiah," and he didn't want to face his sister. And so even though they caused him hardship after hardship, he would just talk about the sons of Zeruiah being too hard for him, and it shows their disposition. It shows it again and again, because whenever a problem arose, their solution was this: let's kill them. You'll find it over and over again. David said, no, that's not the way to solve it. It was so simple to them. Why, put this man to death. Shimei is cursing David. Let me kill him. David said, no, don't kill him. All their lifetime long, whenever there was a problem, the solution to it, just put them to death. Put them out of the way. That will solve the problem. And so all David's career as a soldier was troubled by the hardness of the sons of Zeruiah, his nephews. All right, I'll tell you a little bit then about Joab and Abishai and Asahel. Joab was the strangest of all of them, the most difficult to accept, because he was a worthy commander-in-chief. He was one who went out and fought David's battles for him. He was successful in fighting the battles, but he was a vicious man. And the first thing I'm going to tell you about him is that he was a murderer. You say a soldier isn't a murderer. This is what his uncle said about him. He speaks about him as using the sword of war in time of peace. Now, I'll tell you three that you know of that he killed. He was responsible for killing Abner. He was responsible for killing Absalom. And he was responsible for killing Amasa. And all of these were in cold blood. We can excuse him for killing Absalom. I'll tell you about that in a while. But for Abner and Amasa, it was inexcusable. And that's what David is talking about. God shall reward this wicked doer. David knew that he had done wrong. And I did not read you the whole passage because it would have told you who these sons were, who the men were. And so the trouble was that Joab, in cooperation with Abishai, we are told, was responsible for putting Abner to death. All right, you have the northern tribes of Israel and you have the southern tribes of Israel. And here are those who have a commander-in-chief in the north, the descendants of Saul, of Benjamin, and Abner is their commander-in-chief. And after Saul dies, what David wants is strength. And here is an opportunity to get this commander-in-chief of the whole northern army to come over and be his commander-in-chief. And Joab hears about it, and he says, oh no. And he calls Abner to the side, and he speaks to him quietly. And without any suspicion, he plunges the sword into Abner's heart. He's a murderer. Let me tell you about the next one that he killed. Here is Absalom. David had strictly given a command in the presence of these two men: do not hurt the lad. Do not destroy Absalom. And you remember the story. Absalom is riding along upon his beast of burden, and he's caught by his head in the terebinth trees. And he's hanging there, helpless. And Joab comes along and he says to his soldiers, why didn't you kill the man? I would have given you a reward. They said, oh no, we heard what David said to you. We're not going to lay our hand on the man. And it says that Joab, without a moment's hesitation, took three spears and plunged them into the heart of Absalom. He thought nothing of killing man. But now, he's justified in doing that. He did not lift the sword of war in time of peace. But this was justifiable. I'll tell you more about that later. But Amasa, now remember, Amasa is his first cousin. Abigail had one son that is named Amasa. And Zeruiah, Abigail's sister, had three sons, and so Joab and Amasa are first cousins. And David is going to give a promotion to Amasa, and so his first cousin, Joab, calls him to the side. And then he takes him by the beard in one hand, takes his sword in his left hand, plunges it in his body, and that's the end of him. He thought nothing of murdering people. And yet, he was a fine commander-in-chief. And at times, I suppose, you have to have people that have a heart like Joab. I would not be able to have any position of leadership. If I were afraid that I sent you on a mission and you might scratch or some part of your body and bring a little blood, it would destroy me. And yet some of these generals say, this battle will cost 20,000 men. Tell them to get ready to march into battle. And so Joab was that way. He could kill a man personally. He could go into the battle and destroy all of the enemies of Israel. And so indeed he was a hard man, but he was a murderous man. He would kill anybody that stood in his way, and that brings us to the next point. He was a megalomaniac. He was determined to remain commander-in-chief no matter what the outcome was. That's why he killed Abner. Abner, who had cast in his lot with Ish-bosheth, who was a descendant of King Saul, because of circumstances, I won't go into the details, Ish-bosheth makes him angry, and then Abner goes and he says, I'm prepared to come over to your side. And now David says, think of this, I can have Abner, the commander of all the armies of my enemies, and now he can be my commander-in-chief. The mistake he made was this, letting somebody other than Abner know it. Because as soon as word got to Joab, Joab said, he is not going to replace me. And so he calls him over in quietness, plunges a sword into his heart. You see, he is determined to be the commander-in-chief. David, you are not going to put me down and put this man in my place. And there are some like Diotrephes, they have to have the preeminence. And the man was so powerful, understand this, that David, instead of dismissing him, could do nothing about it. All he could do is to complain, and he said, you are too hard for me, you sons of Zeruiah. But he did not have the power because of the power of Joab and the army. Remember, so many times you have those that are political heads, but you have the military head, and the political head is afraid of him, and so he could do nothing about that. And Amasa, it's the same way. Let me tell you about David and his weakness. He had told in the hearing of his soldiers, do not harm the lad Absalom. And after Absalom is put to death, Joab is the one who put him to death. David wants to get rid of him. He wants to get rid of Joab because he killed Abner, and now he wants to get rid of him because he killed his son. My son Absalom. He killed my son Absalom. Even though it was his bounden duty to do it, he killed him. And so Amasa, the son of Abigail, Zeruiah's sister, he says, I'm going to make you my commander-in-chief. And the mistake he made was letting it come to the ear of Joab. Joab says, oh, no, you are not. And so he calls his cousin Amasa over, tricks him, going to give him a kiss, takes him by the beard in his right hand, and Amasa did not notice the sword in his left hand, and he plunges it into his body, and that's the end of Amasa. And so he's a murderer. Why? He said, nobody is going to take my place. He has megalomania. He has a sense of greatness. He desires to have this power, and David isn't going to remove him. All right. Here is he who kills these three men, and you look into it, and you see the motivation of it all. You say, well, what about Absalom? Well, if Absalom is victorious over David's army, and Joab is head of David's army, what is going to happen to Joab when Absalom becomes king? You say, why, Joab will be removed. Why, of course he will. And so it's too bad for you, Absalom. 3 spears go through his heart. Nobody is going to set Joab to the side. He is going to remain commander-in-chief. The only one he never tried to dethrone was David. Let us give him that credit. His whole life long, he remained loyal to David. But let me show you again what motivated his downfall. And this is the way he died. When David became an old man, and he had to turn the reins of the kingdom over to someone else, he had not done it yet. And his firstborn son was Adonijah. But Solomon was way down the line. He was one of his later sons. And Adonijah says, I'm going to be king. Now, Joab is well aware of how David feels toward him. You killed Abner, and you're too hard for me. You killed my son, and now you killed my nephew Amasa. Joab knows what's going to happen as soon as some other king comes to the throne. And so, when Adonijah, who, strictly speaking, according to birth, is to be the king, but not according to David's promise to Bathsheba, he hears that Adonijah is going to be king, and so he, along with another priest, they get their little party together, and that is why he is going to exalt Adonijah as king. Why? Because if he is one who promotes Adonijah to the throne, then when David dies and another king comes on the throne, who is commander-in-chief of the army? Why, Joab. Do you understand? But that was his mistake, because Bathsheba rushed to tell David in cooperation with others. They had 2 parties carrying on. And when that happened, they came to David and told him, and then he arranged for another group to come and proclaim Solomon as king. And when Joab heard it, then he knew that his end was near. And briefly, I'll explain it this way. He went and fled to the tent and took hold of the horns of the altar because he knew he was going to be put to death. And they came back and reported to him, Joab has taken hold of the horns of the altar because Adonijah has already been slain by Benaiah. And Solomon says, slay him as he clings to the altar. And so now what he has done in the past, now Benaiah comes in and slays Joab. So Joab, in time of peace, was slain as he slew other men in time of peace. That's all that I can tell you about Joab for now, because I want to tell you a little bit about Abishai and Asahel. If the most difficult to understand was Joab, and I did not even tell you everything about him that I wanted to, I cannot, then what about Abishai? He was the most loyal to David. Do you realize that he was prepared to risk his life when David wanted a drink of water? And this is what puts me to shame. My Savior mentions things that he wants specifically, and I fail to do them. And David, just expressing some thought that passed by his mind, oh, that I had a drink of water from the well of Bethlehem. And his nephew Abishai, with 2 others, heard it. And they went and risked their lives to bring him a drink of water. And you remember that David looked at it and he said, I'm not going to drink this water. That was at the risk of men's lives. That's how much his nephew Abishai loved him. He was prepared to risk his life for him. But more than that, David thought that in his old age, I'm so glad that I have learned, David in his old age to go out and fight giants. He could do it in his youth, but he could not do it in his old age. And he was out fighting, and the son of the giant was about to kill David. And who came and succored him? Who came to his rescue and saved his life? Why, his nephew, Abishai. He's prepared to risk his life for a drink of water. He's prepared to fight giants for his uncle, David. And here is Abishai. And David loved him. You see, he's like Joab.
But the reason, the reason that he cast in his lot with Joab when it came to killing Abner was this, because of Asahel. And I must tell you this about him. Of the three, even though he was a prominent soldier, he seemed to be the least of the three for this reason. He was the fastest. He was fleet of foot. It said he could run as the roe. And he was fleet of foot, and he had courage, and he had ambition, but he overestimated his ability. So when Joab's men and Abner's men are fighting, and a skirmish, and then an outbreak of hostility takes place, Abner is fleeing. And the one who is chasing him is Asahel, the third son of Zeruiah. And as Abner is going along, he turns around and he says, "Is it thou, Asahel?" And he says, "It is." He says, "Turn back." He said, "Turn to the right or left. Stop following me." And he would not. He chased him on. He said, "I'm telling you, stop chasing me. How can I face your brother if I have to kill you?" But he would not. And you see, he is a good soldier. But beware when you start fighting a general, one who is expert in war. You may be able to outrun him, but you cannot outfight him. And all Abner had to do was turn around and plunge his spear into him. And that was the end of Asahel. He told him. He gave him three opportunities to turn back, but he would not. And Abner could not outrun him, but he could outfight him. And so he put him to death. And because of that, this is why Joab and Abishai together wanted to kill Abner. Why? Because they had killed their brother Asahel. But I'm wondering if they knew the circumstances and how Abner tried to spare his life, if they would have been as severe. Joab perhaps would have, because he was determined to remain commander-in-chief of David's army. But I do not know about Abishai. And so here they are. You have men that are prepared to fight for David, that are loyal to David, that will risk their lives for David, that want to accomplish things for David. And yet, this is what David says about them. "Oh, you sons of Zeruiah, you are too hard for me." And so it's all in the family. You get loyalty, you get those that will lay down their lives for you, but at the same time, it does not deny the disposition of their heart. And so we all need one another. We need men like Joab, who can bring us up short at times and tell us the mistakes we are making, because not only was he the chief of the army, but he gave David counsel. He saved the nation of Israel from turning away from David when Absalom died, and David cared nothing about the army that had went out to fight for him, but he said, "Oh, Absalom, my son, my son." And it was Joab, his nephew, who came up and said, "If everybody in your army had died, you would have rejoiced, and Absalom had remained safe." He said, "Now you go out and face the people and comfort them and tell them that you are sorry. You go out and make an apology to them." And then the uncle listened to the advice of the nephew and went out and followed the counsel of his nephew, Joab. And so here they are, good counselors, so much help, different in disposition, all in the family, and all of them needy, because David had compassion that Joab and the others did not have. But at the same time, Joab and the others had ability and sense to follow certain situations and terminate them that David never could. And so it was all needed, and God saw to it that all of these men came together to establish the kingdom of Israel. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, we pray that we, as a family, not only a spiritual family, but also bone and flesh, as David could speak concerning Amasa, his nephew, that thou shalt show us good, and that we shall fight the battles of God, not only as spiritual brothers, but as fathers and nephews and cousins and brothers and sisters, that we shall have earthly families fighting the spiritual battles of God as well. Let us understand that some of their relatives are not as wise as we, are not as strong as we, possess not as much prowess as we, but then let us understand that we have not all the gifts, but we need some ability of theirs, and let us love them, and yet let us not deny their shortcomings, and let them tell us ours, and let us tell them their shortcomings, and let us uphold one another, and together go forth and fight and win the battles of God. Help us as thy family, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.